Hello, everybody. It's Wednesday, November 15th, in compliance with the Open Public Meetings Act. This is a regular meeting of the Township Committee as published in the Hunterdon Review. The agenda was posted on the Township Bulletin Board and, as a courtesy, posted on the Township website. Official action will be taken at this meeting. Could we all please rise for the flag salute, followed by a moment of silence for the first responders, members of the military, and our frontline workers.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. Big package here tonight. Okay. Want to do the call, the roll call?
Here.
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 First up is presentation of the minutes of November 1st, 2023, regular session and executive session, if you want to take them together. Any committee discussion on them? Motion?
Make a motion to approve both the minutes, regular session, and executive session meeting minutes of November 1st, 2023.
I'll second.
Okay, so who second, Tom?
Tom.
Okay, I'll second.
Yeah. Roll call?
Yes.
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 Make a motion to open a public comment limited to agenda items only.
I second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. No public comment on agenda items? Okay. Make a motion. Anybody make a motion to close public comment?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. You have to bear with us. This is a 182-page package tonight, so we're trying to figure out what the next item is here. First up are ordinances for introduction, and the first one is the stormwater ordinance. It's about the impact of moving from a Tier B to a Tier A category from the New Jersey DEP reclassified most of the towns into the Tier A category. This pertains to major non-residential developments, aspects of residential major developments that are not preempted by New Jersey 5-21, which is a residential site improvement standards. We don't have a lot of control over this ordinance. It's basically a state mandate, and it's very lengthy. So with that, I'll just read what it is, and it's number 09-2023, ordinance amending the code of Lebanon Township by repealing Article 23-330-49A to 330-49M, entitled Stormwater Management, and adopting a new stormwater management ordinance designated as Article 23-330-49A to 330-49K, entitled Stormwater Management. I'm going to list a series of ordinances here, and then I'll let you know when the public hearing is going to be December 6th on some of these. So anyway, that one, that's you. You redid this one, right? It was in our code. This is such a confusing one.
So the stormwater management, you have a stormwater management one presently while you were Tier B?
Yes.
So that Tier A, there's a different stormwater management. It's not so dissimilar, mm-hmm. but there's some situations. So this is repealing the one that's in there and replacing with the new stormwater as applies to Tier A. So this will get referred to the planning board for consistency review.
Okay. So does that have to go to the planning board before we
adopt?
Have the public hearing?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. All right. So that's Tuesday night. They're going to have that. I don't know if they're going to have that on the agenda or not. So we might have to push out the hearing till the following.
It's fine.
I'm just wondering when the next planning board meeting is, though. So let me just make a note here.
There's no obligation on our part to have this thing approved by a certain date.
So interestingly enough, The DEP issued a amendment on November 1st, and they determined that, I guess based upon comments, I'm not sure the reason why, that all the community-wide ordinances that are defined in the regulations were moved to May 1st, 2024. Stormwater is not a community-wide ordinance, so this one has to be adopted by year-end, and the next one has to be adopted by year-end. But there's a series of about 10 other ordinances where the DEP extended the adoption deadline to May 1st, 2024. Included in that is going to be the, I'll call it infamous, tree removal ordinance as well.
The what removal?
Yeah. Tree removal.
Oh, the tree, yes, yes. Okay, so that,
so
all right.
Both of these. Excuse me, both 09 and 10 have to be done by the end of the year.
Correct.
Okay.
And they have to go through the planning board?
Only 09 does.
Only 09, okay. And the planning board has to approve it?
No. It's consistency review.
Just a consistency review, okay.
Correct. Jeez.
We might have to put it on as an emergency.
So when ordinances get referred to the planning board, they're supposed to see if it's consistent with your master plan.
Okay.
And they can, though they're not required. That's what they're supposed to. Sometimes they'll come back with some suggestions to modify it, but that's not the requirement or the reason why it's being referred.
Well, so the interesting part is we're approving the master plan on the 21st.
And I believe there's a provision in the updated master plan review dealing with the new Tier A, going from B to A. Or at least I recommended that they include a provision in that.
Okay.
Not sure if it's in or not. But.
And let me take a note there. So we're all converging at the same time.
There's no choice.
mean, you don't.
You're Tier A.
You are Tier A.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
I think at this point every municipality is Tier A.
The whole state.
That's what I think. Yes. I don't think anybody's Tier B anymore.
No.
Right.
Okay, so the second ordinance, stormwater related, that's due.
It's not stormwater. This is only, there's one, this one's stormwater.
Okay.
So I think what you should do is introduce this and then go to the next one.
Okay. So can I get a motion to introduce that ordinance?
I'll make a motion to introduce ordinance 09-2023.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 And the hearing date?
And the hearing date is going to be... Well, I don't know.
Tentatively schedule. If you need to move it, you move it.
Yeah, okay. So for now, it's December 6th. Public hearing date for ordinance number 09-2023 is scheduled for Wednesday, December 6th meeting.
So, do your yes vote.
Yes. I did do my yes.
Yes.
The next up is number 10-2023, and this
did
is...
Did we roll call on this? Or on the
did
intro?
We?
You did. You did the roll call for the first one.
We did it. Yeah, okay. That's a confusing one. Number 10-2023 is the ordinance establishing a new Chapter 327 within the Code of the Township of Lebanon entitled Stormwater Quality and further establishing a new Article 1 thereunder entitled Illicit Connections to Storm Sewer Systems and new 327-1 to 327-4 regulating illicit connections to the separate storm sewer system operated by the Township of Lebanon in accordance with mandates from New Jersey's Department of Environmental Protection. And this prohibits illicit connections to municipal storm sewer systems by residents and businesses.
Right. So what I, because these other community-wide ones that I talked about, which there's going to be 9 or 10 or so.
Pet waste and all that.
Correct. So what I did with this one, I created a new chapter in the code, and all those ordinances as they come will go into that particular chapter. So then all of our stormwater quality-related ordinances will be one area.
I'll just slide in.
Right.
Okay, so this one we don't have to worry about with the planning board.
You do not.
Right.
This is just an introduction and then a hearing date.
And again, the public hearing on that one is scheduled for December 6th. Can I get a motion to...
Introduce
ordinance number 11-2023.
It's 10-2023.
10-2023.
I'll make that motion, number
10-2023, yeah.
With the hearing on Wednesday, December 6th, 2023.
Abe just seconded.
Yeah.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. Next up, 50 pages later, we have ordinance number 10-2023, and this ordinance 11-2023, ordinance amending Chapter 40 of the Code of the Township of Lebanon entitled Historian Committee. And we will be amending this ordinance again in the first quarter because we have a lot of work to do on it. But this basically, if you remember, whoever was here, we had a discussion on removing third-party non-township entities from our ordinances. So what we did was take out Squire's Point, and you can see where the attorney put the lines through it. I can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you want me to read it? It's basically Section 40-5 powers. There was a comment to seek to assist and unify the efforts of private groups, institutions, and individuals with the Township of Lebanon in accordance with the purpose of this chapter. An example of such a private group would be Squires Point Historians of Lebanon Township Incorporated, which is a nonprofit entity independent from the Township of Lebanon, but which may have overlapping membership with the Historian Committee. And then we also took out Section 40-6 Museum Trust Fund. Item C used to say donations made to private groups, institutions, and individuals within the Township of Lebanon in accordance with the purpose of this chapter. An example of such a private group would be Squires Point Historians of Lebanon Township, and designated for a specific historical use, or monies received from fundraising events of the Squires Point Historians of Lebanon Township Incorporated will not be put into the Museum Reserve Donations Fund. So that cleans up our ordinance. And then again, you know, we'll have some work to do on this in the first quarter if there are going to be changes. So we'll reintroduce it.
Nope.
Anything else you want to say?
No, just motion to introduce.
I'll make a motion to introduce.
I'll make a motion to introduce ordinance number 11-2023.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. Next up is we're going to introduce. Oh, did I talk about the public hearing? That's another one that'll be on
12-6-23.
Ordinance number 12-2023, similar situation. Ordinance amending Chapter 69 in the Code of the Township of Lebanon entitled Parks Committee. And we did the same thing. We removed a section that under maintenance fund that says donations made to the Friends of Memorial Park, which is an outside entity, and designated for a specific park use, or monies received from fundraising events of the Friends of Memorial Park will not be put into this maintenance fund. So that is being removed, and I don't expect more changes to that ordinance. Just that's basically it. Can I get a motion to introduce ordinance number
12-2023? So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 And that'll be
December 6th hearing on that, too. Yes. Okay. Now we can get to the easier stuff here. We're into the resolutions now. Resolution number 136-2023 is renewing a plenary retail consumption license for Onerosa Incorporated, and they've paid the fees. So whereas this license is currently in an inactive status effective November 17th, now therefore be it resolved by the Township Committee that the listed license be granted a renewal for the 2023-2024 year, which is Onerosa Incorporated, 282 Route 513. Can I get a motion to approve resolution number 136-2023?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Next up is resolution number 138-2023. It's a resolution awarding a contract for 2023-2024 road materials. We had a sealed bid process on, I think I wrote it down here, November.
Eighth.
You might remember, Brian.
It was opened on the 8th.
On the 8th, there it is, November 8th, sealed bid opening. And that was the lowest qualified bidder. It was Warren Asphalt, division of HK Group Incorporated. So this is a resolution awarding a contract for the road materials of Warren Asphalt, division of HK Group Incorporated. Can I get a motion to approve resolution 138-2023?
I'll make that motion to approve resolution number 138-2023.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Now, this is interesting. When I was looking at the park ordinance to take out the third party, I realized that when we filled two unexpired terms, which was normally it's a mayoral appointment, the ordinance says if it's an unexpired term, which we did appoint these people partway through the year, it requires a committee vote on the mayoral appointment. So, with that...
Just so you are aware, I will recluse myself on this particular vote.
Oh, because
vote.
Of Heidi. Yeah, you're
right. So, I'm not going to leave the room. I'm just going to stay here. But okay. I will recluse myself from any discussion or vote.
Okay, so the motion I prepared for this one is the motion... It's a long one. Motion for committee vote to confirm mayoral appointment of June 21st, 2023 to appoint Heidi McKee and Jane Kent to the unexpired term vacancies on the park committee.
Definitely.
Motion, yes?
Yes.
Second? You can't.
Roll call.
Yes.
Yes.
You can vote.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to say abstain or recuse or anything. Himself. Okay.
Interestingly enough, on that ordinance, while the initial appointments do not require committee approval, but when you're filling an unexpired term, it requires.
I was going to say, I thought we already went through this. Yeah.
It's kind of, it's, I don't know why, but that's what
I found it on another one, too, yeah. As I was going through it. So it's interesting. I don't know who came up with these things, and there must have been a reason.
What's
we tried to get
attorneys?
To the bottom of it. Yeah. I did ask Joanne, you know, the chair, but she didn't know either, so. All right, next up, this, I just wanted to get these, like, Abe and I are the subcommittee that were taking on the employee handbook, the development of the employee handbook. We had a statewide insurance company had a template. Our attorney asked us to, that would be good to look into that, because at least you know you have a proper structure, you're not forgetting anything. So back in September, Abe and I started looking at it. Abe did a great job just marking it up. And I looked at it then, and then I sent it to the committee. I sent it to the attorney. And the only thing is that afterwards I started thinking about it. I said, you know, we really should have a volunteer handbook, because a lot of times you're looking at the template for the employees, and then you're seeing that they mention employees and volunteers, but they never talk about what happens with the volunteers. So I said, let's remove the volunteers. Let's get another template. So I found... Well, went on the internet, found one in Fairhaven, New Jersey, that their insurance company provided. Abe looked at that too. He said basically it looked to him like 90% of it would have applied. So we got it to the point where we think now it's a good first draft. And I'm not trying to race this to get it done by the end of the year. I just want to get it on the agenda so that we keep it moving forward. So with that, the next step is probably you.
Yep.
To look through it, because we took out civil service, we took out a lot of the...
Right, I saw that.
Warren, I said to him, look, if you... I know he said he had some safety things he could give us and some drug testing things.
drug testing is required because CDLs.
Yeah.
So that's changed a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure, so I'll make sure you have the most up-to-date on the CDL.
Okay.
The whole process that has to be followed. And then with respect to even drug testing in of itself, the flux in this state, there's the idea that you have to have a person if someone needs help. It's a little complicated, but yeah. I have all that. But I looked through it. Some of the provisions, when I do it, you know, most of them have applied. Some of them you don't necessarily need where, you know, it's a policy call. But most of the ones that you had in the handbook anyway, you would keep in some of the ones that not necessarily, when I looked at it, were like the resignation as a policy. You don't necessarily need that. The timekeeping records, again, that's something you don't necessarily need. Worker documentation, something you don't necessarily need. Let's say that you can't have them, but,
yeah.
You know, those are just things that, thinking about it, I'll highlight those as far as the ones where it's up to you.
But that was a good suggestion, because using nobody realized these templates even existed.
Yes.
And that, you know, you're in a good spot when your insurance company
right.
is giving you a template.
Which is interesting, because some of my other towns and the GIF that they're in, they mandate that they use their template. mm-hmm. and they get a discount
right.
when they adopt it, and they do that. So I have something that I can compare it against, because I know the Labor Council, who generated that JIF, that handbook for that JIF for those towns, mm-hmm. and they service a lot of municipalities in New Jersey. And they encourage it. I mean, they come up with it, and they need to model it. And they not only do they have a handbook, they have personnel policies. Personnel policy is a little bit different than a handbook. Personnel policies typically go to the what I'd say the supervisors in each department, and then that's a little bit different than a handbook. But that JIF actually promotes it, which is a good thing to do. And then you get discounts, and they have training for the employees as well associated with it.
Okay. Do you think we should next year look
at it? Well, yeah, you may want to look at it. I mean, as far as that, that particular JIF, it services, I know, some towns in Morris County for sure. I'm not sure in Hunterdon if it does or doesn't.
It's always good to have, because you could just go to the book when you're in certain situations. That's mm-hmm. the problem nowadays. Sometimes there's not enough operating procedures to know what to do.
Right.
Oh, all right. So the next one, Greg was going to be here, but he couldn't make it tonight. It's the best practices inventory platform, online platform. So we're going to table it. I need a motion to table it till December 6th.
Make a motion to table the best practices inventory online platform.
Yeah.
Discussion.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. I keep waiting for another person. All right. Next up, let me just get this out of the way. There's so much paper.
Yes.
Yeah. Next up is we're going to have a present or a request by Boy Scout troop leader Mr. Darren McDowell about a placement of a shed on the park property. I saw you come in. Yeah, come on up.
Good evening, Township Committee.
Good evening.
Good evening.
So, yes, my name is Darren McDowell. I am a scoutmaster of the most awesome Boy Scout troop in Lebanon Township.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's right.
So what we're looking to do was purchase a shed and ask permission to place it by the other sheds that are behind the firehouse. It would fall in line probably with the same size, probably would not be the same color. We would maintain the shed. As far as what would go in the shed, if that was a question, would be seasonal stuff that we have. Could be something from the Court of Honor. Myself and our committee chair, we've accumulated over the years that we've been in the troop a lot of stuff, a lot of totes. And as our time will eventually wind down in the next 25 years or so, we can't burden the next people with all this stuff, or they're just going to be very overwhelmed. We need a place to put this stuff. So this was our game plan, our solution, and that's why we come to you.
Thoughts?
Well, that's an interesting thought. Is there any?
Well, you should know me. You should know me.
You're going to pipe up anyway.
Well, yeah. So the other sheds that are out there, they're municipal sheds. Are they not municipal sheds, or do we know whose sheds they are?
Some might be, some might not be.
I know that two of them are for rec. That I do know.
Yeah.
Okay, so that being said, I'm sure there's no use agreement or anything like that. And that says park property. Is that park property where they are located? Or is it just municipal property? And being park property, is it, Rossi property?
Oh, that's interesting. Rossi, yeah.
Which is open space inventory because he received state grants. The only reason I raise that is sometimes if it's property that's on your Rossi, there's some restrictions as to what can be used and what can be placed on it. For purposes of tonight, let's say it's not, but that's something that would have to be checked. To the extent you have a third party placing property on your property, it's not ideal. There are potential liability because you're inviting people onto your property. That becomes potentially that they're coming in and out. I'm not sure who else would have access to it. There's a potential attractive nuisance, i.e., somebody sees a shed, somebody wants to break into a shed, it's not your property, there's those liability concerns as well.
Sir, can I ask, what if we insured it ourselves?
Well, I think there's a couple things that we should probably do. I mean, those are issues I'm raising. At a minimum, you would have insurance, I can assure you that. I think first question is we should go to our GIF and get there, let them know what they think, because ultimately if there's a problem, regardless if it's a Boy Scout shed, you know the township's going to be sued if something were to happen because it's on township's property. So I think we should check with them to get their opinion as to that.
I'm thinking about that with it, but it is the park, and you can go in there. Anybody can go in the park. It's not like it's...
As I'm saying, I don't know if it's the park or not, but even if, let's just say it's not, I don't know, but if it is the park, the same issue is going to, you know.
I mean, it could be a dawn to dusk rule. I don't know if we have a... after a certain hour, can people not be in the park? I don't know.
But that's a little bit different because you have something that you're, you know, it's not your property. But I think you would still have to, you should check with them. And then ultimately, let's say you can, and you can game plan it. You'd have a hold harmless agreement. There'd be a, you know, certificate insurance with town's name, additional insured. I think you know, those are just the type of things that, but it does create potential liability.
What if the Boy Scouts donated the shed to the township and the township rented the shed for a dollar back?
Well, like I said, it sort of creates it, but that's a possibility because now it's your shed.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're still inviting people on who are not, they're not employees, right?
So we'll
call it's not township's business, you know what I mean? So it's yours, you still have the same potential issues that are out there. They're not insurmountable, but I think those are things that we have to vet, and I think the first place to start is with the GIF, because ultimately they would be the party responsible in defending the town if something were to happen.
Would you like to your insurance?
Yeah,
would you like to take it on?
Yeah.
If you need me help, just let me know.
Well, however, I would be in favor of it if it can work out, sure.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, I would too if we could work
out. And now it kind of raises the issue of these other two sheds. If they're wrecked sheds, we should check on that.
Yeah.
How many sheds are there? I don't even know. How many sheds?
Didn't you and Warren go over there and check it all?
There's at least three. I know that.
And there's room for one more, right?
Yeah, I think we could squeeze one in there.
Hey, I'm sorry.
I don't like going back to if it's park property or not township property. I say that area because that's where the other sheds are.
Right.
You know, we don't care where the shed would be.
Is the shed?
Pardon?
What size are you talking?
You know,
similar to what's...
Yes, it would fall in line. It wouldn't be like a big garage door or anything like that. It would fall in line with those type of sheds.
Okay.
It would not exceed those sheds. I can tell you that.
Okay.
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 That's it. Thank that's good. That's enough for us to start, which is good.
Thank you.
Yeah
thank you, Darren. Next up is we were under new business. We were awarded a grant of $241,263, and it's for work improvements on Musconetcong River Road. It's the section of Musconetcong River Road that Lebanon Township owns, because I knew that a lot of that was county road. So I talked to Warren, and he said it's between Butler Park Road to Point Mountain Road. So that's a nice amount of money that we'll have to get through PMRS, I'm sure.
Mm, yeah. All right.
And after that, next up is it's almost time for the reorg meeting. Set a date for 2024 reorganization meeting. I looked on my calendar and I said the first Wednesday is actually January 3rd, so I don't know why we wouldn't go with that.
Fine with me. What? Yeah. Yeah, I'm good with it.
Yeah, I'm good with it, too, because we would have been here anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to take a vote on, do I have a motion to set the 2024 reorganization meeting for Wednesday, January 3rd?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Next up, I think, Sharon, you want to come and speak. It's the impact of New Jersey Highlands restrictions on forestry management in Lebanon Township. And I know there's a proposed resolution under review for the December 6th meeting, I guess, if we choose to vote on it.
Yeah. Good evening.
Hello.
Hi again. So you all received a bunch of information from the Environmental Open Space Commission. I just want to state for the record, I am here on behalf of the Environmental Open Space Commission. They have voted unanimously with one abstention to send a letter to the Township Committee copying the Planning Board and the Board of Adjustment with our concerns about these draft Highlands best management practices for forestry. So for those that don't know, forestry activities are exempt if you have an approved woodland management plan or an approved forest stewardship plan. And they're exempt from the Highlands Act, from the Freshwater Wetlands Act, and from flood hazard. Now, a requirement by the New Jersey Forest Service is the entity that approves these plans. And one of the requirements is to implement the existing forestry wetland and forestry best management practices that was also created by the New Jersey Forest Service. So when you get an approval letter from the New Jersey Forest Service, it says you need to implement these BMPs. Here's where you find it. They were drafted in 1995 and have been in use ever since. So the Highlands Council staff are drafting new best management practices for forestry and wetlands for Highlands property. So it's in both the preservation and planning area. It's regardless of if you have plan conformance or not. And the way it states right now, it's even if you have an exemption through an approved forestry plan, these Highlands BMPs will take into effect and essentially replace the existing forestry and wetland BMPs. So this is kind of these draft BMPs have more restrictions than what's existing right now. And so as drafted, they would prohibit all forestry activities except hazard tree removal and invasive plant removal within 300 feet of all wetlands and streams and open water bodies. And that's regardless of the forestry activity, the soil type, the slope, and the wetland or stream classifications.
And if you have and regardless if you have an approved management plan and forestry plan?
Yes, as written, yes.
So it supersedes anything that's in place?
It without changing the regulations, it will expand the current restrictions that are in place with the forestry management BMPs required.
Right. You had said that right now, if you have a forestry management plan, I'm just trying to understand because
yes.
You saw my email. Mm-hmm. I'm a city slicker. And a stewardship plan, that the BMPs are subject to that, so that your BMP, your plan is first, right?
So you have an approved plan. You are exempt
right.
from the existing regulations.
Correct.
Right. So you don't need a Highlands
right.
applicability determination or a permit to do forestry in the Highlands. You don't need a flood hazard or a wetlands permit to do forestry in a transition zone
right.
or within 150 feet of a stream.
So then these new restrictions would say...
Right. So the current BMPs have their own set of restrictions based on activity, soil type, slope, and things like that. That can range anywhere from like 25 feet to 150 feet. But it's on a case-by-case basis, and it's enough information that a forester can go out and say, okay, here's your stream management zone, or here's what you need to do in this kind of area. And so that is what is enforced by New Jersey Forest Service right now. So these BMPs would come from the Highlands and essentially take the place of that, in which case it would be 300 feet regardless. So it's even more than the existing regulations.
Right. The existing is 150.
Yes. 300 in the Highlands if it's a C1 stream.
Right.
But yes. So in addition to that, it's also 984 feet from all vernal pools, and that's regardless of the vernal pool species present or the certification of the vernal pool. Similar restrictions would be applied if you're in a Highlands core forest, which is mapped as, I think, 90 meters or 180, 200 feet from a canopy gap, an opening, development, a road, things like that. what they call severely constrained steep slopes, and also certain soil conditions that they call primary forest soils. In some areas, especially if you're closer to vernal pools, herbicide application for invasive species control and the use of heavy machinery will be restricted. And I think tractors, not the lawnmower tractors, but probably the tractors for farming would be part of the heavy machinery. So in addition to that, I'm not done yet. These proposed BMPs in the highlands will require a wetlands letter of interpretation if you're doing forestry in or near wetlands. Mm. Possibly wetlands mitigation if you're changing the characteristic of the wetland.
Jeez.
Soil testing to determine if you have primary forest soil conditions. Invasive plant surveys, deer density estimates, the creation of additional plans to address invasive plants and deer. And if you have more than 50 deer per square mile in your township, which I think we do.
Mm-hmm. I see them all the time when I go home.
Deer fencing is required if you're going to conduct forestry activities.
Jeez.
And this is all going to be
around the entire forest that you have?
At least where you're going to be doing forestry activities. And this is all at the expense of the landowner.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing in their PMPs that talk about funding. Maybe they'll, you know, you can apply for grants, but so this will apply to public and private lands. Mm. So it's across the board. An assessment of Lebanon Township, it could impact over 11,600 acres. That's where the restrictions overlap with the township. And over 2,600 households or parcels, which we can equate to households. 8,000 of those acres are forested. So if this only does apply to forest lands, that's 8,000 acres of a township and 2,100 parcels. So it's still the majority of township. We're talking over 80%, 85% of the landowners, and for forest, over 70% of our forested lands.
So if the town has open space...
Public lands are part of this as well. So that is why those are the main concerns from the Environmental Open Space Commission, the impacts on our residents, impacts on our forests. And it's also, this perspective is also being shared by the New Jersey Forestry Association, where most of the information provided came from them. New Jersey Chapter of the Wildlife Society, the New Jersey Farm Bureau, New Jersey Outdoor Alliance, and New Jersey Sportsman Federation have all spoken out against these best management practices. And that said, we do have a good working relationship with the staff. This has come about in the recent year because in the past year they hired a new executive director. And so I think there's been a change. There's been some change in staff, and as a result, this is kind of coming out from the staff. So we do have a Highlands Plan. We are in plan conformance. We have a Highlands Plan conformance grant that we're using to fund our forest municipal stewardship forest master plan, however you call it. So while the USC strongly opposes these BMPs, we want to do so in a way that maintains a good relationship with Highlands Council staff. Basically, the EOC has requested a resolution or some manner of from the township committee and perhaps a planning board and town board of adjustment to oppose these best management practices. The next Highlands Council meeting is on December 14th. At that time, it was publicly announced that the Highlands Council staff planned to provide the draft to the Highlands Council for them to endorse the official public comment period, which I think will be likely be 60 days, maybe 30 days. And after that, it would go back to the Highlands Council for official approval.
Do we have any idea what the economic impact is going to be to the residents?
It depends. For those residents that currently have farmland assessment because under a woodland management plan, they need to make a minimum annual income to continue to be part of, be farmland assessed. So if they live near a stream or a vernal pool and they cannot conduct any forestry activities other than hazard tree removal, they may not be able to sell the wood to make that minimum income requirement. Mm. Therefore, they may lose their tax break from farmland assessment in addition to losing the income that they could get from selling the wood. So that would be worst-case scenario for a landowner. Forest stewardship plans do not have the income requirement, but they do have certain activities that you need to do. So you need to implement the plan in order to qualify for a farmland assessment for a forest stewardship plan. And so if you're in an area where herbicide application is not allowed to control invasive plants, or your plan prescribed single tree selection or stand improvement or something like that, and it's within this area that you cannot conduct forestry activities, then you might be in jeopardy of losing your farmland assessment with that. So, and that's in addition to all the forest concerns we have with not managing the forest.
So who determines the hazard of that tree?
I don't know if it's defined yet in the draft that I saw.
Example, you're driving down Hickory Run Road, there's a stream that follows the road, and you have a tree or two on the side of the road that's within that buffer now. Who's going to determine that?
That's a good question. So I haven't seen a definition for that. I assume they would produce one, or if there's one already existing, that it would be a sick, dead, or dying tree would be a hazard tree, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure how it would be enforced either. As with some other tree ordinances on their way, I'm not sure how that would be enforced. But if a neighbor complains, it's enforceable then.
If a neighbor complains.
So if these BMPs are approved and somebody conducts forestry activities within these areas, and somebody complains, that's how it gets enforced.
Is a property owner responsible for determining whether or not there's vernal pools on the properties? Sometimes you need a geologist to make that decision.
Jeez, here we go.
So for the vernal pool, the landscape project mapping has potential and certified vernal pools. So it's based on
Yeah, but and that's not, and I know something about vernal pools, believe it or not. That's not always accurate.
The certifies are.
Right, with the state.
But the
right.
potentials,
right.
I think, are 88% accurate. Mm. Roughly. Sorry. So is it up to the landowner? I would guess it is for them to look at the mapping and then determine whether it is or not.
There's a vernal pool there.
Yeah.
Geologists are going to make a lot of money off of this.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people
are going to lose money off of this.
Mm-hmm. So is it, other than a new executive director, that's the impetus? I can't believe one person can be the impetus behind such a – there's more at foot.
Yeah, well, there's been other changes in staff, but the biggest one is a new executive director. The Highlands Council has not voted on these yet, to my knowledge. So these – the drafts are coming from the staff.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying, but what's the impetus? Because it seems to be pretty New Jersey's draconian, so that's nothing surprising. There's got to be more than – it has to be more than an executive director. I think that's part of the flow. Yes.
I don't know anything publicly that I can share this time.
Follow the money?
Yeah. I'm just – you know, it's a lot. I mean – and then when you do this, and then the tier changes for all this is coming. There's
so
something.
That is separate.
It is, but the timing's curious.
Yes. But I do.
And I don't think it's a coincidence. It's just me being
a true.
Cynic.
Yeah,
it might be a coincidence.
No. And we have budget caps.
It might be a coincidence, but I do know that the Highlands Council staff, as currently staffed, cannot implement these BMPs without adding more staff.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that? To have to review what they need to review and all that stuff, they need more staff.
And then for enforcement, they'll need more staff. I'm just saying.
I don't know if you ever look beyond our state, but do you see this kind of stuff going on elsewhere?
Yes, I look beyond our state a lot.
Yeah.
And Pennsylvania is a whole different world. But Southern New York, Connecticut, Massachusetts are similar.
Vermont.
And Vermont to an extent, yes.
Well, she just mentioned similar states.
Yeah.
New York, Connecticut, Massachusetts.
But in terms of the Highlands, so the Highlands is part of, I don't know if people are aware, it's actually began as a federal initiative. And it's a four-state initiative of New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Connecticut. The purpose of that was really to prioritize and acquire land, preserve land that's important for drinking water and forests and things like that. New Jersey was the only state to actually put it in their regulations and start regulating it. The other three states use it as a funding source for acquisition, and that's it. So that answers your question.
I don't get it sometimes, because I even think about, they're so worried about the water, they're so worried about the impervious surfaces, but yet you can have warehouses put up all over the place. Like what? Yeah, again, follow the money, you know, that's... So you're looking for us to oppose, have a resolution to oppose this bill?
This is bigger than what's in the purview of the Environmental and Space Commission. It's affecting mm-hmm. private lands in mm-hmm. addition to our public lands. And so we believe it requires a letter from the governing body of the township, if that's the direction you want to go.
Well, what are the pros and cons for the township direction-wise? Oh.
What changed from the woodlot management from 1995? Why was there a change? I mean, it worked for so many years just the way it was.
That's an excellent question.
You know, why
in,
make
in the
change?
BMPs, I did not see any justification for changing it other than they do not align with what's required in the Highlands region for development, what they consider major development.
Your budget's growing.
So do you want to look into this more before? I mean,
I have the information. I mean, it's a lot. I'll just, if you can't, I'll have to work with Sharon. She'll have to, you know, feed me stuff, make me a little smarter.
Timing's just impeccable, because we have the Tier A, Tier B. There's grant funding from the Highland Council to help us with the Tier A and Tier B, and now they bring this along at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where that template, you know where that originated?
The
resolution,
that was from New Jersey Forestry.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, so the Environmental Commission did not review it,
right,
just
okay.
review it or endorse it or change it or anything.
Yeah. Well, I can't see how we cannot oppose this.
I agree. Anything that puts more restrictions
yeah.
and onerous costs and hardship on farmers and anything else, I just...
It's crazy.
I mean, what's next?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Just
you're not a landowner anymore. You're a tenant.
Well, that is next. That's
yeah, exactly. That's why I was asking about surrounding states.
So what would be the next step for us to oppose this? Is this the draft a similar resolution?
So there are two options I can see. One is a sample resolution that we can amend to make it more Lebanon Township-y and approve that. Another option would be to send somebody, not me, to the Highlands Council meeting on December 14th and provide 3 minutes of comments during the public comment period, or both. Or we could, you know, if not a resolution, we could send a letter of concerns. So those are the options I can think of right now. But whatever you feel would be best
what
to do while maintaining a good working relationship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because the staff are being told what to do by the executive director, and they're doing it. And so whether staff agree with this or not, we can't take it out on them.
Is this going to be reviewed also by the planning board?
I was at the last planning board meeting and provided them with the same information. They were copied on the email I sent to the township committee with the information.
Are the Highlands going to threaten to make us more in the Highlands than we are already?
99.6. Get those last two.
99.8.
Yeah, Devara. I think it's down there at the Rudels, where Rudels fencing used to be, is the only point that's not.
As far as I know, plan conformance is required in the preservation area, which is pretty much the entire township. Mm. So there's really, I mean, other than complaining about it, I don't know if there's any recourse we can do other than take out like the 6 acres that's in the planning area,
right?
Which isn't going to do much. So, but I think if we in other townships and counties, if they get enough resolutions or concerns, that might be enough for the Highlands Council to not approve these.
Mm. Which has the most impact on those three ways of moving forward? A resolution, a letter, or somebody showing up?
So if you show up to the meeting, you are addressing it to the actual Highlands Council. If you send a letter, the letter goes, it can go to the general Highlands Council email, which goes to staff, or the executive director, which goes to staff. You can request the executive director to share it with the Highlands Council, but you do not have the emails of the Highlands Council themselves. So if you want the Highlands Council members to hear your concerns, showing up would be the best, and then providing written comments after. That said, resolution, I think, is the strongest way of opposing these.
Now, I know it said confidential, but they've somehow released a copy of this. I'm not hearing it anywhere else. Does anybody else know about this other than us right now? And the Highlands Council, because I haven't heard anything even from the commissioners wanting to oppose it. I just was wondering if anybody knows about
it. So the story behind this is select stakeholders were reached out to kind of be interviewed about these Highlands BMPs, and that was used to help create the draft. And then that draft was then sent to a selection of those select stakeholders. And it was deemed confidential and deliberative because it's not public comment, ready for public comment yet. That said, since it's a state government sending a document to agent or organizations outside of the state, it's OPR, subject to the Open Public Records Act. And so that's how this copy was obtained. Mm-hmm. And so basically it is people like New Jersey Forest or organizations like New Jersey Forest Association who OPR'd this, the one that you have, sending it out to people and trying to spread the word that way. Mm-hmm. So it has not gained momentum because this is
they're dealing in secrecy.
Yeah, but I mean the 14th of December is coming up and nobody's going to know about it.
That's the idea.
I have to be careful as a state employee, but I am allowed to talk to my environmental commission, my township, and my county about my concerns. Mm-hmm. And so last week I did go attend the Hunterdon County Board of Commissioners and gave them this information. So they, as of last week, they are aware.
Okay.
As far as that outside of Hunterdon County, I don't know. I can't. That's considered more lobbying, and I can't do that. So.
Yeah.
Like I said, nothing's off the record.
This is on the record. So.
Has the USC looked at this draft resolution?
No.
Should
no,
they?
I got this after.
Can they?
If that's what you want, our next meeting is in December, so it's going to be very. So we won't be able to get you our approved draft in time for you to have it on the December 6th agenda, which would then have it approved for December 14th.
Can you have a special meeting?
Can I?
Why
I think
not?
I can, right?
Sure you can.
Is that the deadline, December 14th?
Aren't you the chairman?
Well, that's the day.
The chair lady,
how much
the
notice
day
do I need for a special meeting, though?
I don't even know what it is.
48 hours?
Yeah.
Okay.
Notice it in the papers?
Not 48 hours.
So I need 48. All right, so I have to find a date and notice for 48 hours before a meeting. I can try. It's Thanksgiving, though, so I don't know. No guarantees.
No, but this is important.
It is. It is. And I'm happy to help on my own time with the resolution or on behalf of the EOSC in terms of helping to tweak it if it needs tweaked.
Who did write it again, the resolution? Do we know?
New Jersey Forestry Association.
Okay.
That's where I got it from.
Okay.
So I did look at it personally before sending it out, and I think it does cover a lot of our, not all of our concerns, but a lot of our concerns.
Have you talked to Judy Thornton? at all at the Highlands?
I can't reach out.
You can't reach out to her, okay.
So, no.
When do we have to approve this resolution in order for it to be effective in terms of sending it to before that meeting?
Well, you could include it in the public comment period if they were to adopt it after the 14th, right? Because it's going to at least be a 30-day public comment period.
At least, yeah. So the December 14th meeting would be to
establish the comment
period.
Establish
the comment period. Right, so it will not be adopted on the 14th. It will be released for public comment.
Right.
Okay, so we have time now.
So
okay.
We would have time.
Wouldn't the better time, I'm sorry, the better time to appear is that when they have the public hearing on whether or not they're going to adopt?
Well, depends on your perspective. Right?
Okay.
So if the Highlands Council reviews the BMPs as is, and says they're good enough to go to public comment, that's essentially them endorsing the PMP as is. Do we want to get to them before they do that or after? That's the question.
I'd say get it done as quickly as possible and get it to them. That's my. Otherwise, we may be late and it would be ineffectual. And I think this is a critical issue for this township.
We agree.
Yeah.
Get it to them that we agree with it or don't agree with it?
That we don't agree with it, yeah.
Yeah, October, then do it on the December 6th, the next meeting. Now, that depends on if you want to use it as is or do you need to make changes.
Well, I won't have to defer to Sharon.
Yeah, Sharon.
I think you're going to I think you want to include stuff how it impacts your community. I think that's most effective rather than just using the same boilerplate because there are things unique to each municipality.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
so
Sharon,
like the
you have the most.
I'm sorry. However, either you can feed if you want to do that, or if you just somebody needs to feed me information. That's all. However, whatever's the easiest.
I'm happy to work in whatever capacity you would like me to work in. Yeah.
Why don't you make some bullet points of how you think it affects Lebanon Township, and then we can just send them over to him. You could to Mark, and you could
rather than
take
call
some
the entire EOSC. Perhaps you should, because you're the most experienced in this area. So most of the more pertinent issues are going to come from you. So if you could review this draft and add, as Beverly is talking about, all the things that relate to Lebanon Township, then Mark can put it all together in a resolution, and we can have it for December 6th.
Yeah, I can look it over and provide suggested changes for you to consider.
Yep.
Yeah.
Things that wouldn't...
As long as I don't write it.
That's right. Yeah. I'll take care of that. You just give me information. I can...
Things that they would have a hard time shooting down or working around. Right. Like, really, some hard-hitting facts would be good.
Yeah. I think the main thing is the acreages and the number of parcels. And that is in there.
Is it?
Because that is the one thing. The template had, like, a yellow highlight, so insert from your...
Oh, for community.
So I did that ahead of time. So that is already in there, but yeah, we can make some more points.
Yeah, just I'll take care of drafting and just give me the information.
Okay. Anything else?
That's it. I think we have a plan.
Thank you very much, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'll plan to be here on the 6th as well.
Great.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Next up, we have presentation of the vouchers.
I have a couple here. First one I have is Roselli, Griegel, Lazier, and Lazaro for professional services rendered from June 7, 2023 to November 8, 2023 for $4,900. I have another one here also for Roselli, Griegel, Lazier, and Lazaro for their October services on retainer, $2,500. Martucci Engineering, this is stormwater professional services rendered on stormwater, and Littlebrook, a total of $3,000. Lebanon Door LLC, these are three doors at Station 3, overhead doors that were put in and installed, $13,495.44. Hunterdon County Environmental Educational Service Commission. This is technology support service for October, $1,000. And we have New Jersey Health Benefit Plan active and retirement benefits for the month of November, $52,998.61.
I have Patriot Office Cleaning Company, $1,565 even. Rutgers University, $3,816. That's for our road department courses. JB Tools, $2,856.78. East Coast Emergency Lighting, $1,221.80. Amazon Capital Services, $1,170.38. And that's all that qualified.
I have one for the Lebanon Township Board of Education for $1,142,288.
I have none that apply. So, where's the bill list? Do we have the bill list? Oh, the printer isn't working. The motor blew out. Here it is. Okay.
The new printer?
Yeah, I said the same thing. I know. I guess it was made during COVID. I don't know. So the total bill list for the period ending November 15th, 2023 is $96,322.91. Can I get a motion to approve the bill list?
Make a motion to approve the bill list.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Next up, we have some correspondence. The first one is a township interoffice memo, and it's a total of 106. This is about the free computer electronics and scrap metal recycling event on October 21st. A total of 168 residents participated, which resulted in collecting 22,482 pounds, which is 11.24 tons of material. And televisions and some of the top items, televisions, 5,900 pounds, air conditioners, 5,212 pounds, and scrap metal, 7,560 pounds. I don't know if you want to talk about the historian.
No, I'd love to hear it.
Okay. And then also we have a letter from Lisa Rivers, which we're not going to read. And then a letter from Lori Hoffman. At the same time, we talked about this reading of the letters a couple of years ago. If you read one, you have to read all. So if you have 4,000 letters coming in, you can't be picking and choosing what you're reading. And some of them have sensitive items in them as well. So.
Correspondence.
Right. So it's correspondence. But with that, we have public comment for... Can I get a motion to open a public comment? Anything you want to talk about?
Almost. I'll make a motion to open a public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Well, as you know, I sit up in the front, mainly because I have a hard time hearing. With less than 50% of my hearing all my life, I probably lip read more than most people do. But when I attend meetings like I did for the Board of Adjustment, is this the same equipment that they use down there in the gymnasium?
Oh, well, I thought they took.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
The microphones don't work. I'm sitting three rows up from the floor, and I can't hear what's going on. They finally had to pass a portable microphone to an attorney so that the public could hear. And I still couldn't hear what they were saying. It's a problem. And I think that it ought to be addressed. Now, I don't know, do we record these anymore, these meetings?
Like tonight?
Yeah,
definitely.
Okay,
yeah.
So did they record their meeting because they have a stenographer there?
I don't think the last meeting was recorded because there was a stenographer there, and we knew who the person was, and it was a good stenographer.
So the only way that really one could find out what happened at that meeting, if you have a hard time hearing, mm-hmm. is you'd have to get, I don't know where you would go to the stenographer and probably had to pay a fortune to get what was said that night. But I think it's unfair as a taxpayer that I can't sit there and listen to what I want to hear because microphones aren't working. Even their attorney had to use a microphone and share it with one of the members. I think that's pathetic, and I think that it ought to be addressed. Maybe you have to have five additional microphones that you know that you can use as spares. But it's terrible. And the speaker that they use down there, it's bouncing everywhere. It's a pathetic way to run a meeting. I would appreciate it if you'd look into finding out a way by which everybody can hear and know what's going on.
Carolyn, do you know Kim covered that meeting. Did these microphones go over there? They didn't, so it was a different system.
Yeah, we have a different system.
No. Well, that's what I was wondering. If this one is, but it was the school system that they were using.
Can somebody address the school about it? If you have a meeting there, we ought to be able to hear what they say.
No,
I think that's pathetic. Why have it there if you can't hear?
Well, yeah, there's not too many places to have it. That's the problem.
Well, that's the issue. Then they ought to have a system that everybody can hear. I want to hear what's going on.
I took a note. I'll see what I can do. Any other public comment about anything you want to talk about? Come on up, Nina.
Hello.
Hi.
Nina Savoy from Mesquinec on River Road. Just in reference to Lori's letter, I just wondered if there was any determination about having the historians open the museum occasionally. I don't know if everyone here knows that the museum is now closed for a while, at least. So any determination on that, that the volunteers can...
Well, the last day was Saturday, correct?
Yeah.
Yes. TBD.
That's what I was afraid of.
We move fast, though.
Okay. Thank you. You are talking about it, right?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Jean Lang. I'm also on Mesquinec Kong River Road, and I'm here to talk about the museum. Just to give a little history, when I bought my house here in 1976, Dorothea Connolly was just starting to convert an unused building into a museum. Now, she was a real force of nature. She had a show on public television. She helped start Waterloo, Preservation Village. She was amazing. And at that time, her main focus was bringing school children on field trips to do a simulation of a day in the old schoolhouse. She actually literally died in the middle of a school presentation. Joan Lucas was the assistant curator and took over, but not too long after that, it stopped being feasible to bring the children there for field trips. I think because of a separate entrance. So, you know, God love Joan. We love her. She did a lot of crafts for children and adults, which our Recreation Commission has really taken over a lot of that now. And when Gina Sampaio came on board, I feel she was another force of nature. And she and Robbie Lynn went through tons and tons of archives, dusty, full of mouse poop, which we'll get out here, and which we will get again if the museum is closed. They cleaned, they cataloged every piece of historical record, papers, maps, photos, books. For just one example, I'm not sure if you all know this, Dorothea Connolly had a whole sheaf of handwritten notes. Robbie Lynn was just telling us this on her last day at our last meeting. What a big surprise. That they took all of these notes and they transcribed them. And lo and behold, that's where they first found out that some of the last of the former students, the last of the ones who went to that school, knew about Indian children, Native American children, excuse me, who were sent here from Carlisle School to work in farms. That's in Pennsylvania. And they wrote this up and presented it to the New Jersey Historical Society, which they were not even aware of this. So this is just an example of the kind of treasure trove that we have with the museum. I mean, it sets Lebanon Township apart. We have a museum. The culmination from a lot of their work and a lot of very interesting folks stopping in with all kinds of interesting stories, which they always were. Gina had a way of drawing people in. And yes, she had a large personality. But the culmination was that we got voted the best museum for 2 years in a row. And that was a lot of hard work and energy and really generated a lot of excitement in the town. And we had art shows and talks and events, and they were interesting and exciting. So I'm not sure how we could ever replace Gina and Robbie Lynn, but we really have to try, because the idea to just leave the museum closed, and it's just so sad to me that we have lost two really shining gems. And as I say, I know, strong personalities, everybody's got their personal stuff. But this was so needlessly, this was just so fixable. And I think we really need to try to replace them instead of saying, yes, we'll talk about it, we'll think about it. Gina gave her resignation in September. It was a big surprise to me, and I believe all of us. But we need to continue Dorothea's proud legacy and not have it turned back into an abandoned building with mice running through everything that has now been preserved. And the historians are willing to come in and open it up at least a little bit, but the idea that it's just going to be shuttered around the whole holiday season, I don't think you all know what you're losing.
Where are you getting that from?
Getting what?
That it's being shuttered for through the set. How do you know that?
Well, right now, that was the last day, and there's no plan to open it.
It's 4 days ago.
Okay.
Anyway, and we are addressing the mouse problem that was brought to our attention for the first time at the last meeting. And while Warren Gabriel was there, he also took some of the sugar packets and creamers that were laying around and threw them away. So, anybody else?
Sue Donovan. I'm a little hard of hearing, so it's better, like what he said, have more mics so I can hear. Mm-hmm. Now, I might be talking loud. I don't know, because I have stuff up, you know, have a cold. So anyway, I just found out tonight that the locks were changed on the museum. Is that true?
Yes.
Can I ask why?
Security reasons. Why would we not change the lockers?
I got to talk slower.
For security reasons.
Security.
Yeah.
That means every time, like, when Mrs. Sandorf left, you had all the locks changed here, too, for security? Because to me, that means you don't trust any of us who are on the committee. And the only one, as I only knew, there was three key. Warren, Robbie Lynn, and Nina. We like to decorate the museum the week after Thanksgiving for the Christmas, doing the windows. Now, can we, or do we have to get ask Warren for the key to get in, or what? or you don't want us at all in there?
Your liaison will tell you how it's going to happen. We have to discuss it. Again, it just happened. Everything just happened. They weren't let go. They resigned.
I know.
So we have a lot we're doing right now. So it's don't think that nobody's talking about this, because we are.
Oh, I know. I accidentally, when at the meeting, I used the wrong word when I said in the pocket. I found out that mean in the pocket means someone's getting paid off. I meant the back burner. I don't want to be back burner in a year from now. You know, we got to get it there. And all of us want to volunteer, mm-hmm. which is not going to cost the township any money for our time.
Right.
You know, to do two times a week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not weak. A month. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, if you didn't see after this year, I'm not a kick the can down the road person. This stuff is moving. It's on. We only have every two meetings a month, but we're getting a lot done in that amount of time. So it's just a lot of stuff. Lot. So.
All right. Is there any problem of giving, like, Nina, our treasurer, a key to the museum? Or
once we discuss it tonight in executive session, we'll have some discussions revolving about the building. And we do have the keys. We have enough. We just have to figure out how we're going to go about it.
All right. And then in your executive meeting, you'll discuss if we can decorate our Christmas thing for there?
We're going to discuss the whole situation.
Okie dokie.
And the keys are non-duplicatable, just so you know. So we have our four keys, but we have to keep track of you know, what's going on in the building. Nobody's there.
Right.
Yeah.
But Nita lives in town. I mean, she can easily see if something's, you know, vandalism or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Okay.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hi.
Laramie Silber. I think you all know me. I also live on Muskinicung River Road, and I'm also a historian. I'm sure you're sick of hearing from all of us by now, but it comes out of a real passion for what this town has, the richness of history that we want to be able to keep growing and researching and people have access to. So it all comes from a really good place, and I just want to add my two cents that both we are all, as a group, very eager to volunteer our time to help provide that access, but to also urge the committee to think about hiring a new curator, because we are very, very willing to jump in the breach, but are also aware that none of us can commit the kind of regular time that keeping the museum open long-term requires. So those are just my two thoughts, both that we want to help and that we need a staff person who's going to carry that forward in that proud tradition. Thank you so much.
Any other public comment? Seeing none, can I get a motion to close public comment?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And with that, we're going to go into executive session. It's resolution number 137-2023, authorizing executive session, contract matters, contract negotiations, investigations of potential violations, and personnel. Can I get a motion to go?
Make that motion.
So move.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Wait a minute. Hello, everyone. It's 9:08, and we're reconvening into executive session. Can I get
regular
a motion?
Session. You're reconvening into regular
session. Into regular session? Can I get a motion to reconvene into regular session?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 A motion to adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Thanks,
thank you. I will, bro.